Rita Louise, we're sitting here at the Jefferson Hotel about 11 o'clock at night. Midnight's a haunting hour, is that right?
Yeah. And we're alone, Jerry.
Oh, yeah, finally. Well, maybe not quite alone.
Not
there seems
quite
to be
alone.
There seems to be a TV crew here and a few other ghost researchers.
And the ghosts, don't forget them. Oh, They're all watching.
Well, now, in all seriousness, you got here yesterday, and you went a couple of places, and you picked up some things, right? Psychic ability. Tell me a little bit about what happened here.
Well, I mean, yesterday we were down at the Grove, and it was just a basic little house. I was kind of surprised. This is my first trip to Jefferson, so
this is
all new to me. And it was
I have been to Hugh Springs right down the road before.
Oh, yeah. Wherever that is.
Yeah, about 20 miles from here.
And walked up, not even to the door, but was walking up to the door, and I said, there's this guy standing out in front of the house with this gray striped kind of looking suit on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, this is going to be interesting. Start walking in the door, and I'm like, oh, there's a girl standing at the top of the stairway. You know, and every place that you looked in that house, there was something or somebody.
Now, I take it that maybe not all these things you were seeing are here and now.
No, they definitely were not here and now.
Oh, okay.
They did not have corporeal form.
Okay. That's and did you get a sense of who they were?
I mean, they came from a lot of different time periods. Some were people that were in the house. Some were people that were connected to the house. Apparently, you know, you learn stuff when you come here. This had been a very big cotton industry place.
Yes.
And so one of the things that I noticed was that there were these laborers that were on the one side of the house. And so that kind of put you in one period. But then there were these Native Americans who were really close to them in the same area of the property, because apparently there had been some Indian burials underneath the house, which I picked up. And they were going like, go away, go away. They were not very happy spirits.
They didn't want anybody there.
No. Well, they didn't want them on their burial ground.
Yeah, well, I can certainly understand that. I you know, in your experience, that is really one of the main things, I assume, that it comes back to haunt people, or haunt, for lack of a better term.
Well, it's appropriate here.
Yes. Is that people have desecrated these sacred grounds, and they may not even know that they were sacred grounds.
I mean, at that point in time, I don't think they cared.
Yes.
You know, it's not that they didn't know.
Well, I'm talking about now, though.
Yeah.
When you get these signals or feelings, exactly what is it? Do you actually see the entities?
Well, I mean, what it starts off with is kind of a feeling, like a tingling feeling, or a knot in the pit of my stomach forming. Or at the Grove, it was like, okay, Creep City here, and I just it was kind of funny because different entities have a different kind of energy vibration. Some feel very friendly, and you can just touch and feel them. But there it was just like, uh-oh. I mean, because it was very intense. It was very strong energies there, as opposed to some of the other places that I've been in.
Do you think, and this is probably the poor choice of words, but for lack of a better term, the ghosts, they know each other are there?
I don't think so. I mean, because it was like layer upon layer upon layer of history. You know, and I think that some of them might have come from the same household, you know, and were could have been interacting with each other, but others did not come from the same time period.
Now, the Grove, was that a restaurant or a boarding house or something at one
Apparently,
time?
Apparently, it had started off as a residence.
Uh-huh.
For a gentleman who was very involved in the cotton industry. And then over time it became a restaurant and I would assume a bed and breakfast. And it's had a number of different things in its history.
And here at this old hotel, which has been renovated, I think it's been renovated, at least the front has.
I'm so not the person to ask, because with these investigations that we're doing here, I've never been to Jefferson, and I've made it a point with the people in the group that I don't want to know the history. I don't want to know about what's happened with it. I don't want to know anything, so that when I go in cold. And so I don't know what about. I don't know anything.
Well, that's probably an advantage, though. At least you have an open mind about it.
Well, and it makes it so that I'm not sitting there just reiterating someone else's information.
Now, someone like you with psychic experience, and you can, and you've demonstrated it many times over your career. Is it always mixed signals, or do you find happy places and places of sadness, and I guess places of horror?
They change with the people. You know, they change with what's going on, and so.
What do you think is going on with these ghosts? Why are they still here? Why don't we all feel them?
Well, the why we all feel them, I can answer. Why they're still here, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, because they like hanging out.
You think that's it?
We were having a conversation earlier. Why would a ghost hang around in the cemetery? It's not even a fun place to be.
No, it's not. Well, you don't like to go to cemeteries, I know, because you get lots of vibes.
There's lots of energy going on. And then someone actually made the comment, which kind of made sense, was that maybe the energy that people are picking up is all the grief from the families.
It's possible.
You know, and I was like, well, that kind of works for me, because it's just overwhelming. It's, you know.
Now, we've talked about that before, about things, not on the air, but about them, some of your investigations. Now, when you go in here tonight, you're going to walk through the place, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you, when you walk through something like that, are they leave you alone while you do it? Or do you, are we all, I mean, obviously there's a camera shooting.
Well, I mean, I just kind of, you know, wave my arms around. You know, it's a definitely visual thing. And just start going and feeling. And so kind of depending on where the cameras are will depend on them getting me.
Now we just left the old railroad depot down there, the ghost train.
Mm-hmm.
And you really didn't want to go out and see the ghost, the haunted coach out in the dark. Now, what's the story there?
Well, you know, I might be psychic, but I'm a chicken at heart.
Okay, I just wondered. I was curious about that.
Well, I mean, there weren't any lights out there.
Okay, so you might be psychic and you might be a ghost hunter, but you don't want to take too many chances. Now, no harm really has ever happened to you. Have you?
I've never had anything like knock me down or fly and hit me or anything like that.
No,
but it doesn't mean it's not creepy.
Well, sure. And, this hotel here, I'm sure, has had its share of tragedies over the years.
I don't know any of them.
Okay. Maybe you will when you get out of there. Do people ever tell you anything? Are these entities, these energies, these spirits? I mean, do they say, hey, I was here in 1920 like that?
I mean, not that way. Yeah. And no one's ever... I mean, when I'm working...
I mean, you don't hear voices or anything.
Well, when I'm working, you know, there's what I'm sensing.
Okay.
You know, and it was interesting at the Grove last night. The gentleman that was walking me around the property was sitting there, and he was just pumping me with questions. Is it a male or female? What nationality are they? How old are they? What are they dressed like?
Well, I understand you pretty much batted 100%.
There was one spot that there was... a man at the bottom of the staircase, and then the landing was 5 steps up. So there really wasn't a lot of space between the bottom of the stairs and the landing where I saw this young girl. And so my cognitive brain thought it was just one thing at the staircase. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing I missed.
Now, you mentioned being afraid. I like to act like a macho. But when you're really in a cemetery at night, lonely, or in an old house that's haunted, you can't help but play tricks on you, at least your mind. I mean, so how do you separate that to know that you're just not manufacturing this? You're really feeling things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you know that?
I just do.
You just feel it.
Well, I mean, I grew up in a house that was haunted.
Uh-huh. Now
you know
we're
what
finding
I mean?
A little bit
about
Rita Louise here.
And so, you know, if you leave me someplace long enough, I mean, especially if it's, you know, one of them creepy kind of houses,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just brings up all kinds of childhood stuff. And I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, like last night, I slept with the door open. We had the bathroom light on.
Now, yeah, you guys are actually staying in a haunted house.
Correct. The House of the Seasons has, and well... there's some activity, there's a lot of residual energy, so it's like you're seeing this little piece of videotape just going over and over again. But I just kept having this feeling that the room we were in, that there might have been poltergeist activity happening in there at one point in time. I mean, there was just a lot of energy, a lot of electricity, and I just said, well, if it's going to happen, maybe I'll be asleep.
Well, I understand that. I you wake up sometimes in the middle of the night and think you see things, and you're not sure if you do or not. So if you're at a place where already you've heard, there might be things around.
But it was interesting because I was laying in bed and I heard a conversation happening in the downstairs room in these just kind of hushed tones.
Now, don't tell me nobody was down there.
There wasn't. There was only myself, the woman that's staying with me, and the caretaker of the property that were in the house proper. And it was 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. Everybody else was in a different building.
Now, you've got a heck of a schedule here. You're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and doing a TV show. And then tomorrow afternoon, you're supposed to be reviewing data, I noticed, by the schedule. What does that mean? What are you going to be doing there?
Looking through videotapes, listening to the voice recorders, looking for some EVP, electronic voice phenomena, going through the digital images.
I'd love to get a tape of one of those things. You have any handy?
Well, I don't.
Okay. Maybe.
I think of everything, that's the one that creeps me out the most.
Okay. Now, I'm going to let you go in there in a minute because you've got to walk through and they're setting up. But and we'll be visiting off and on through the next day about this. And I'm just really curious, what's your impression? I mean, this is a small town, an old town. Obviously, they take pride in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me that the ghosting is an industry here.
Not too bad. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Sedona.
Yes.
You know, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go check out the vortexes. They'll be mystical. And you go down the street and there's like vortex tours, you know?
Yes.
Helicopter rides over the vortex.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of my good friends does that.
I was like, now that's commercial metaphysics.
Yes.
I mean, they keep it very low-key, but it's a very cool point.
Oh, I know. At the hotel I'm staying at out on the highway, I asked the desk clerk about it, and she didn't know anything about it at all.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. She said, what ghost train? You mean there's a ghost train here? Well, maybe she just walked into town and got a job. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
Okay, have you ever really been in a bind with a ghost? In other words, have you been fearful? Has anybody really threatened you?
I mean, not threatened me, but as an example, in college, we lived in this house that had
Where did you go to college?
I went to, well, where I started was Oswego State, which is 30 miles north of Syracuse, New York, right on Lake Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived on the corner of 5th and Bridge. And anybody you'd say, oh, I live on the corner of 5th and Bridge, if they were a townie person, they'd say, oh, the old funeral parlor.
Oh.
And it's like,
did you know that when you moved in here?
No. And I thought they sold mausoleums in the business because it was a Victorian and there was a business below us. But then I found out that since I have zero phonics skills, that it really was mausoleums.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, oh, well, that's pleasant. I mean, we had all kinds of weird things happen in that house.
Yeah, and so you've had a background with this all along.
Right. But, I mean, my girlfriend, who lived in the room across the hall from me, there were two women that one had it for the first semester of school, and then she moved out, and someone else moved in. And in the entire year, I probably had been in that room 3 times because it was that creepy. And so my way of dealing with it is I just don't go.
Well, that's probably the smartest way. Now, you know, you're a PhD. You're a scientific woman. Any scientific basis for any of this? The ghost and aberrations? And
I'm sure there is. I don't have any for you today, okay. Jerry. I mean, for me, it's just a fun thing to do. You know, and I just enjoy going in. It's like, okay, there's a man there. Oh, well, we had this one house, and there were two vortexes. There was an intake vortex and an output vortex. And it was really interesting because it felt like when it would go in, it was going to this place where there were all these people. And then we started looking around the house, and this woman had all this Titanic stuff.
Hmm.
And it just felt like it was going to the Titanic. I mean, because there were people coming out of the vortex with these big brimmed hats and the Victorian dresses. And
you literally could see them.
Oh, and my husband was with me, and we were
kind of
bouncing off.
Well, you told me one time we were talking about it. You said he was psychic.
Yeah, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't own it in public.
Okay, no. he doesn't admit it, right? What's his name, Jim?
Jim.
Yeah, well, Jim, we're sorry. We put you out there, out of the closet. We're sorry, fellow. Now, this organization that's doing
this. It's Metroplex Paranormal Investigations.
And you're a member, and you go, and some of the other people. There's some guys, but you basically are women down here, right?
We're the psychic chicks today.
Okay.
Or no. The ghost girls. That's what someone said. Oh, the ghost girls are here.
Yeah, I like the ghost girls, but psychic chicks, that's got a ring to it, too. Well, I'm going to let you go inside. We'll be talking throughout the hour, and then we're going to come back and do a scientific show with you in a couple of weeks, too, to show that you have a little on the ball. But this is fun, and it's interesting, and come on, tell me, is there something to it?
I mean, for the amount of stuff that I pick up, you know, it's not any different than doing a reading for someone and talking about a relationship they're in, or talking about a health issue they have. The information comes in the same way, and I just report it back. And so I can't say that there isn't something to it, because the mechanism's the same. The way it gets approached is the same. The way I receive the information is the same. I mean, so if I have someone that has a upset stomach, my stomach will start to get upset. You know, if they have a pain in their leg, my leg will start to hurt.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk to you about your medical practice there, or whatever we call that practice, because it seems to me that might be very rewarding, but also it seems like you really feel the pain sometimes from what I've read about some of your things you write about. And so I don't know. That might be a love-hate relationship there alone. I don't know.
Well,
I guess you really feel that the results are worth any pain you have.
I mean, I find that it's a wonderful diagnostic tool.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's like, okay, you must have a headache because my head is starting to throb.
Well, we'll let you go back inside.
Okay,
we're going to follow Rita Louise, Dr. Louise, inside the Jefferson Hotel. Standing out here on the street, it looks like a movie set from some horror movie of the 50s or 60s, but it's not a movie set. It's a real town, and this is a real hotel. Let's open the door and go in. We'll be back after this word. Happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com.
It looks like it's about 8 or 10 miles left.
Welcome back to our show. We're in Jefferson, Texas. In fact, we're at the Jefferson Hotel, world famous as a haunted hotel, and we have Kelly Pruitt with us, the manager. Kelly, tell us a little bit about this place. It's interesting, and it's actually pretty old, but it looks very modern.
Yeah, well, the building itself was built in 1851. It was originally a cotton warehouse. Until the 1870s, that's what it was, but the Corps of Engineers around here decided to dynamite the river and get rid of the log jam that made it where our steamboats could come in. So, of course, after, I think it was about 1871, that this got to quit being a cotton warehouse.
It became a hotel
at
that time?
Just shortly thereafter, it became a hotel for the first time. And then I think it was about 2 years that it lasted as a hotel. And then between the span of 1872, 73, somewhere in there, up until the 1920s, it went through being, it was a schoolhouse, a skating rink, a meat market, a Chinese laundry, was a bordello called Palace at one point.
I understand this was quite a wild place.
Oh, yes.
Kind of rivaled New Orleans.
Oh, yes. There are some great stories of little shootouts that were actually here at the hotel or within a block of the hotel. This was quite a lively place in the late 1800s.
When did someone first figure out this place might be haunted, or at least ghosts show up?
Well, I know that our owners, when they bought it, were not told about the ghost things from the previous owners.
Well, that's bad for real estate prices.
That's right. So
I think you guys have turned it around, though.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That attracts a lot of attention. Of course, the building itself, this place is just gorgeous. I mean,
it's unbelievable.
They have really put some time into trying to get it back to what it was back in the 20s. From the 20s to the 40s, when Miss Sluter had it and had it as a fine hotel, they have tried to get it back into that kind of atmosphere there. But the little ghost stories help. Now, we still get guests in here that don't have a clue they're coming into a haunted hotel.
Yeah, I understand.
They find out when they get in here. And I actually had a lady call me today and refused to stay here. When she said, "Are y'all really haunted?" I said, "Well, we're supposed to be. I'm not staying there then." And she's coming in with a motorcycle group.
You wouldn't think she'd be afraid of a little ghost.
That's what I'm thinking. You will ride here from New Orleans with 30 or 40 bikers, but you won't stay in a hotel with ghosts in it.
Have you personally seen a ghost?
I haven't seen a ghost. We've seen a shadow play just a couple of nights ago. It was
my first experience,
actually.
I like the term, shadow play. What do you mean?
That was my third night of ever spending the night in this hotel. It was last Saturday night, and we stayed in room 16 up here. And I was in the bed. My son was in a cot at the foot of the bed. And he says, "Mama, look up at the ceiling and watch that chandelier." And I'm thinking the chandelier is going to be moving. He says, "Watch the shadow." The shadow would be on the left, and then all of a sudden it would jump over to the right. And then it would jump back where it was, and then it would jump back to the right. I said, "Well, it's the TV reflecting. It's what it is, and it's just subtle light changes, just making it switch direction. Turn the TV off, and it'll stop." He turned the TV off, and it didn't stop.
It was still there.
Right. We watched it for about half an hour before he said he wasn't staying anymore.
Could you see figures or bodies?
It was just a shadow.
Hmm.
I haven't actually seen any apparition, and I haven't had anyone personally tell me about seeing anything, but we've got the little record books.
Well, let's talk about
book. This one that I have in my hand is only, I think, 2004, as far back as this one goes. The owner has got his hands on the older one that goes back, I would say, probably the early 2001, is when somebody finally thought to have people start writing down what kind of little experiences they had in here. And it's really...
Well, what sort of thing's been entered in there? Who writes that?
This is actual people who have stayed in the hotel. Now, some of these are people that just came in off the street, walked through the hotel, and a few of them never even spent the night in here. But I've got, of course, the most infamous one around here is room 19. They take a hot bath.
Room 19?
The mirror in it fogs up, and it says, "Help Judy, murder." And murder spelled backwards, like from the movie The Shining. So, but...
And have you seen that?
I have seen it fog up, but it did not say that. Uh-huh. It just said help the night I saw it. But
that's when you get in there and start taking your hot bath. It steams up.
Right. Or if they run... People have told me if you run the sink for 5 minutes or so, you can get it hot enough in there for it to do it. Now, I actually have guests here that it was just recently in the last month, they took the mirror down while there was nobody on call in here in the hotel and took it to room 16 and cleaned it and all that and tried to get it to fog up, and
it would not fog up. Only
in room 19. So if we rigged it, we did a really good job of it. Apparently it's some climate-controlled thing that it only works in that room.
Do you have any idea what happened in room 19 over the years?
Well, there's been a couple of people that have... It's the most common thing that I've heard for room 19 is it was actually three women were in there, and it was a gentleman who killed them. And that the woman who was first killed was intentionally killed, and the other two were not supposed to be. But one of the women wrote on the window facing out to the street, "Help," and he ended up killing both of them. But what has been reported was he was killed here in the hotel as well.
I wonder who killed him.
That one I haven't come up with yet.
Okay.
That's
it's kind of interesting that you talk about these things. Did this happen in the early period or the later period of this
now,
hotel?
Now, the period with where the best guess that we have or the best feeling anybody has is this would be during the period of time that it was the Crystal Palace, that what went on in 19 happened, and that they were working girls.
Was that
girls.
A bordello?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
With the name, I figured it was
right.
It doesn't sound like the Holiday Inn.
And see, then we have room 14 that has the Whispering Woman in it. That's,
I want to hear about her.
Now, her bed
sometimes
actually.
Sometimes I like Whispering Women, well, but I have a hunch that I may not this time.
Well, she's a blonde, so if you have a thing about blondes, she's supposed to be quite attractive, actually.
And what's she whisper?
Well, she's mad at us.
Uh-oh.
Because they moved the bed that's in room 14 now from room 12, and she does not want it in room 14. She wants it back in room 12.
You think she originally was in room 12 or room 14?
I think she came with the bed. The bed is not original to the hotel. I think she was moved here with the bed. I don't think she belonged here in this hotel. I don't think whatever happened to her happened here. But the story with it is she is supposed to have hung herself from, it's called a bishop's bed, and it's got the like 10-foot headboard that kind of has the little overhang. And that the story is that she was supposed to be meeting a guy that was going to marry her, and he never showed up. And so she hung herself from that headboard.
She took it pretty hard.
Yeah, just a little. That's almost as hard as she took on moving
the bed.
Yeah.
You got a good point there. Now,
but she's covered people up in the middle of the night and stuff like that. She's never done anything mean to anybody.
You cover them up like just pull a sheet up over them or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, get out of my bed.
Yes, exactly.
Do you stay at the front desk late at night sometimes?
Not usually. I'm supposed to be out here at 5 o'clock every afternoon.
Okay.
But here lately, Fridays and Saturday nights, I've been here till about 10 o'clock. But it's usually, there's plenty of guests
here.
It's actually.
My point was, I was wondering if. You could hear noises or people talking.
Well, during the day, on Tuesdays, it's a really slow time around here. There's usually not guests in the hotel, usually Tuesdays and Wednesday. If there are guests in here, it's usually only one or two, so there's not a lot going on in here. And there'll be times when I know I'm the only one in here, and I'm hearing stuff, especially Tuesday because the restaurant's closed too. Mm-hmm. So there's no sound should be coming from in there, and no sound should be coming from the hotel. And it'll sound like somebody's walking around upstairs, or that's every now and then, I guess it's that corner of your mind's eye thing, I'll think I see somebody coming down the stairs.
When you
can't hear them.
That probably is.
And these are creaky stairs. I mean, there's no sneaking up and down. These stairs.
When you took this job,
they didn't tell me till the end of my first day that the place was supposed to be haunted.
That's what I was.
Yes,
my question.
I got to find out about that at the end of my first day.
They said,
"Did anything happen?" And I'm thinking, "Well, what did y'all expect to happen in here?" Well, you know the hotel's haunted, and I'm like, "Dude, what?" And of course, I thought they were all insane. And I did. I worked for a tax office here as well during tax season. And I went back to work there the next afternoon and told the girls in there, I said, if anybody comes in there dressed like Ghostbusters or starts trying to tell me they've seen ghosts, I don't care how professional I'm supposed to be, I'm going to laugh at them. Because I thought it was absolutely ridiculous that anybody would think.
Well, we got some Ghostbusters here tonight.
Yes. Well, and it didn't take but about 2 months for them to convince me around here that there may be a little truth to something.
Are you from this town?
Well, I was born in Jefferson, but I was not raised here.
Mm-hmm.
I left the area when I was about 6 and didn't return until I was 25.
Well, we hear, you know, all these ghost stories about various places, the ghost train and,
yes,
and other things, and other places. When you came back, did you notice, I guess you heard the stories, or not? Maybe you didn't. I ran across somebody tonight when I asked them where the ghost train was. They had never heard of it.
Right. Yeah. I didn't find out about this until, like I said, the end of my first day at work. That's first, I didn't have the clue that this hotel even existed. I knew about the Italian restaurant, but I did not know that
now,
the hotel was here.
How many rooms do you have here?
We have 23 that we rent out. There's actually 24, but the owner's mother lives in one room here. So we have 23 that we
actually rent out.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So she must not believe in ghosts, or it doesn't bother her.
Oh, she does, but she says they don't bother her. They only mess with her dog occasionally.
She have a little dog?
Yes, she has a schnauzer.
I have a schnauzer.
And he sits he sits and stares off.
And they're also cowards, you know. So.
Yeah, she stares off into space occasionally and barks at stuff that nobody else sees.
Well,
that's bad.
We've done lots of ghost stories and shows over the years, and paranormal shows, and that's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Animals pick up on things.
Now, there's a great story that goes with Miss Marie. I had a guest a couple of weeks ago complain to me that I needed to make sure that she did not play her piano at 7 o'clock in the morning again, and she didn't need to sing the Baptist hymn so loud. And I'm like, well, first of all, Miss Marie doesn't have a piano in her room, and second of all, she's a staunch Catholic. Mm-hmm. I doubt very seriously you heard her singing Baptist hymns. So.
And so there are sounds coming out and things like that.
Yes. Now, I personally have never heard any odd sounds or music or anything like that. Now, we have a maid up here that has just left recently that she's had them actually speak to her.
I wonder what they would say, like...
Well, she says the little kids giggle because the room that I just moved myself out of, room 18, is haunted by children. And they giggle and they tie our shoelaces together, and they like to flip the beds up after they've got through making them and stuff like that.
It sounds like the more of this is, it doesn't sound like anybody's in any danger.
Oh, no. There's a few people that have hurt themselves being scared, but
yes,
the ghosts have never hurt.
Like me, I probably fall down the steps.
Yeah, actually, the lady who does the ghost walk here in Jefferson was the manager at one point. She fell down these stairs because doors started shutting on her upstairs, mm-hmm, and it scared her so bad she took the stairs two at a time and fell down. But that was her running from them. They didn't push her down the stairs.
Yes, yes. So it doesn't bother the owners or you to talk about these ghosts because they're pretty harmless.
Oh, yes. That's.
I just wonder, listening to people out around that are listening to the show, their conversation, if we could hear it the other way instead of them listening to us, I wonder what they're really saying. I bet they're saying, I'd like to stay at that hotel. Do you have an 800 number or something?
Yes.
Well, good. We have
it's 866-33-HOTEL. I would tell you the numbers, but I've not memorized them yet. You spell out the word hotel. So 866-33-HOTEL.
And you take credit cards?
Yes. And we have a website, actually, that has some of the ghost stories on it and has pictures of all the rooms and the rates for that. And it is www.historicjeffersonhotel.com.
Well, I see where Dr. Louise has finished her walk through the hotel. We're going to see if she picked up any vibes. And I appreciate the stories. You got anything, final story you want to tell me out of that book, something that really grabs you?
The one that's my favorite right now is a couple that stayed in room 14, the one with the whispering woman in there.
Uh-huh.
One of the women turned her cell phone off because it was not working in here, and her husband and her took off out of the room. They got down to right in front of room 19, and his cell phone rang, and it was her cell phone calling his.
Wow.
So that's...
So a ghost that knows about cell phones.
They do not like cell phones around here. They will do everything they can to make you quit using them in here. They do not like cell phones
a little
for some
tip
reason.
For
turn
ghost
it off.
Cases.
Yeah, turn it off
leave,
when you get to the
leave
door.
Leave your cell phone in the car.
For makes the stay better anyway.
thanks very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Jim Morris, author of Alien Agenda. the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reg8 is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reg8 DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reg8 will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reg8, a Linda Callen production.